Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you could join us today. Thankfully, we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And our subject today is mind. And we will begin today with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from pages 338 and 342 of the Brown Book, Mary Baker Eddy's Lessons of the Seventh Day. There is one mind, and this mind is yours and mine, and governs us. All our thoughts come to us from this mind and go back to their source. There is no other mind to tempt, to harm, or to control. Know this, and you are master of the occasion, master of yourself and others. Declare every morning, I feel fine. I cannot be discouraged, dismayed, confused, influenced, or in any way affected by mortal mind. No thought, conscious or unconscious, felt or unfelt, known or unknown, no power, seen or unseen, can in any way touch me unless it originates in divine mind. Mary Baker Eddy.
Perfect. Thank you. And our watching point.
Watch number 111. Watch that you draw a sharp line of distinction between that improved condition of the human mind, which is described in Science and Health, page 128, line 6, and that state where the human mind having been eliminated, man is governed wholly by divine mind. It is a necessary step in progress to improve the human mind to the point where, having been stimulated and impregnated with truth, its endurance is enhanced and its capabilities are improved. But this temporary condition should not be mistaken for the attainment of divine mind. The discipline and purification of the human mind by truth belongs to the early stages of growth in Christian Science. The effect of truth on the human mind caused our leader to declare that students of this science should excel in whatever they undertake. But she did not want them to feel that they were governed by God when they had merely impregnated the human mind with the grain of truth that one gains in his early study and that does wonders for mortals. It is an indication of progress when one has let enough truth into thought to improve his beliefs. But the real student of science does not begin to appear until one sees the need of putting the human mind entirely underfoot, so that one may declare, quote, I will do my best to make the demonstration to have God talk through me, or I will be silent when I have not made the demonstration of reflection. I will strive not to let pride cause me to use a substitute. I will seek silence rather than voice that which is not the result of demonstration. End quote. Divine mind is not attained until the human mind is put off.
Thank you. Okay, comments.
Don't mess around with it.
Right, that's right. Don't mess around with it.
Well, I like
It is. Silent. Go ahead.
Being silent is something I learned a while ago. You know, people email me pretty frequently, and there was this period of time where I was trying to answer things in a, you know, like professional manner, I guess. But then I realized that I just had to make sure I was listening. And so I don't reply to an email unless the actual words come to me. And that has helped so much, just to not let anything else through.
Thank you. That is very important. You know, this is listening and not feeling the pressure. You get an email, you have to answer it. I mean, I have done that. And if you feel it under pressure or anything other than love and inspiration, just don't do it. That's very important. And that's true of everything we do. We live in the present moment. Let God speak to us and do it as God bids, not as under any sense of pressure or duty. And you will find your day unfolding beautifully if you do that. And it's a discipline, because we've been trained to just move along quickly according to whatever's thrown at us. Thank you for that. Okay.
I think also that this...
Go ahead.
As you were talking there, I was also thinking of the difference between reacting and responding. I try to respond rather than react to, you know, anything, an email or something. Listen first, like you said. And also in the six-step treatment where it says grace to remain silent when it is not necessary to speak. I think about that more too. It's like, do I really need to say something right now about what was just said or what was just done? Or do I just remain silent? And so that's been very helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have to respond at all, right? Sometimes silence is the most effective response.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Silence is the answer. It's a response. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, peace, be.
I think I like what we've learned here. God is mind. God is my mind. God is the only pure and perfect mind. To include that every morning and throughout the day, because eventually or ultimately, we are to put off the human mind entirely and to start to, you know, declare this as ours. The mind of Christ is the only real mind, is the only true mind. So included in our spirituality, in declaring that I am spiritual, I am perfect, it's important also to declare that God is my mind. God is the only mind and is the pure and perfect mind, to be able to say all those as well.
Thank you. Absolutely. Start first thing in the morning. Start with that. Mrs. Eddy did it herself. And then she would say, and all my moments are his. So
another thing that came to me about the watching. Sorry.
Align yourself with that thought about your oneness with God, your oneness with the divine mind, and hold to it. Okay.
I was just going to say that in the watching point, what came to me was that the goal of Christian Science, if you could say such a thing, is not the fruits, which we will see the results of our good thoughts, but the goal is to learn to know God. And so that becomes more important than what we are demonstrating, so to speak.
Yeah, knowing God, everything else becomes a byproduct. And healing will come as you know God. This watching point reminded me a little bit of Mrs. Eddy's article, Pond and Purpose, which I hope you're all familiar with. Starts on page 203 in Miscellaneous Writings. But she talks about the three baptisms. First, the baptism of repentance. And that's when you kind of see the horror of the human mind.
Yes.
And repent of it. And then the second, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is a spirit of truth cleansing of all sin. And that's a, you know, a very beautiful state if you read it. And it's, I won't read it today, but it's lovely to read that and think about it. And then the final baptism of spirit, which is the immersion into the infinite ocean of love, she says, which is, I'm sure, the ideal. And that's the truth about it. We just have to wipe away the mist. And then, and it's pond and purpose that ends with, drink with me the living waters of the spirit of my life purpose to impress humanity with a genuine recognition of practical, operative Christian science. If you ever feel you've lost your way or you've lost your purpose, well, what I always go back to that. You know, I have been, as I've told you all, to be reading biographies of Mrs. Eddy. The first one I read was the Tomlinson one, which is just wonderful. Irving Tomlinson, who lived in her home 12 years with Mary Baker Eddy. The second one I read was the Bliss Knapp one, which was also very wonderful. And while I'm thinking of it, someone has taken over the Andrew Hartsook banner, or some people. I don't know if any of you have received it. Carrie got one and told me about it, and I got one too. And it's not what Andrew Hartsook was doing. I mean, one page was a critique of the Bliss Knapp book, and a lot of it was not favorable. So in my book, okay, that's enough. So anyway, he had quite a mailing list. And I don't know who these people are. The other thing is they want to be incognito. We learned here, anybody who won't say who they are, throw them out the door. Seriously. Mrs. Evans used to tell us at the reading room, we would get these phone calls every once in a while. Well, I'm not going to say who I am. And that was before caller ID. She said, don't talk to them. What are you afraid of? And if you're so afraid you won't say who you are, then I'm sorry.
We have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, and we have nothing to hide. Now, I know there's certain circumstances when maybe you don't want to say who you are, and I understand that. But most circumstances, you need to say who you are. And Carrie, who is an expert researcher, she can't find much about these people. She thinks they're in New Hampshire. But whatever, whoever, come on now, say who you are. Don't hide in the shadows. And if any of you are listening, then that's just fine with me.
Especially if they're using our address.
Yeah, they're taking our addresses.
No, they're sending a newsletter to Andrew Hartsook's, all of his addresses. So they've got everybody's address.
Right.
That Andrew,
and they should tell us who they are, and they should have sent a letter
saying what they were doing. Come out from the shadows and say what you're doing. So,
yeah, it's not legal.
In a way, that's true. No, we're very careful here. If anyone wants to contact you and wants your email address, I always ask you first. We don't just give out email addresses. It's very important in that respect. We protect our privacy. So where was I? Yeah, so then the second book I read is Bliss Knapp. And now the third one, and I've read all these before, but I'm reading them again, is Mary Baker Eddy, Her Spiritual Footsteps. And if you want to know Carpenter, how she lived her day, how she demonstrated the one mind in her home, that's the one to read. And I need to know that. I thirst and hunger for it. I've read this book several times, but it's still wonderful. Carol has it in audio. So, but you know, even if it takes you, and sometimes it takes me a year to read a biography, just keep at it, and you'll learn so much about how to demonstrate the one mind, how Mrs. Eddy demonstrated it. Another thing I do often in the morning is I work with Mrs. Eddy's article Day, which is in Collectania, pages 34 to 35 of the addenda, and it's on our website. Karen has recorded it, and in it, it gives you a glimpse of how to demonstrate that one mind. Today is my day, and my world is but a reflection of my own mental attitude. I have the power within myself to reverse any destructive thought entering my mental household. I could not lovingly entertain unwelcome visitors. Therefore, I shall not willingly entertain unwelcome thoughts. Each day I shall weed from my mind all thoughts of doubt, fear, malice, hatred, revenge, petty criticism, or superstition of any nature whatsoever, and shall begin today believing tremendously in the power of a constructive mental attitude. It goes on, but it's a very, very good article. And just for today, folks, just for today, you can do this. If you think, oh my gosh, you know, oh, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, most of my life, how can I do it? You're only being asked for today. And in the Bicknell Young article on day, what does he say? The only thing you have to do today is
know the truth.
Yes. Know the truth. So, but this is a step in how to get rid of the human mind, because she's listing all these things of the human mind. So,
also one other point, if I can.
Go ahead, Michael.
Sorry. Just reminded me of the scientific translation of mortal mind in Science and Health. But somebody I knew was mentioning that their teacher brought up that he has the different stages. The first degree, depravity, right? The second degree, evil beliefs disappearing. But where it says moral, humanity, honesty, affection, compassion. And the point they made was that most Christian churches basically leave you there. And the teacher was saying, it's not good enough, and you have to go higher, and it goes to the spiritual, which is, you know, health, love, holiness, spiritual power, and how that stage, that's what one needs to aim for, and how doing good and those spiritual qualities are, of course, important, but that's just, you need to, or everyone needs to continue to go as farther than that, not just stay there, and so kind of reminded me of the watching point. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we were taught here, simple thought, and it was in the daily calendar today, and that is, if it's not a thought from God that loves me, don't listen to it. And on page 259 of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, immortal ideas, pure and perfect and enduring, are transmitted by the divine mind through divine science, which corrects error with truth and demands spiritual thoughts, divine ideas, to the end that they may produce harmonious results. So you stay with that truth, declaring the truth. If you think you don't know it, then just declare what the Bible tells you, or Science and Health,
mm-hmm.
and it will become manifest in your life, and you'll get where you do know it, not just believe it, but understand it.
And then, while we are grateful for the harmonious results, we don't worship them. And I think that is the trap that is very tempting for all of us. And many people fall into it. They worship the harmonious results. They worship the improvement in their human lives. And while we should be grateful for it, it's a danger to stop there.
Thank you.
Because you want to humanly protect it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Or to be willing to only give up the pain and the suffering, but not wholly giving up the human mind that we are supposed to.
Thank you.
That comes out pretty clearly, too, in that spiritual footsteps, because Carpenter talks quite a bit about, she urged people to work that much harder when things were apparently, you know, pretty harmonious.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the thing, and I see it sometimes recently. Somehow I got on some Christian Science website, and it was very curdling to me because it wasn't really the truth. And anyway, it very easily, Christian Science, if you don't study it on your knees, it turns into New Age or the prosperity type religion where you're just adding on to your life and think that's what it is. That is not what it is. That is not what it is. And this one website that I saw briefly, whoever this person was, again, not saying her name or his name, you know, was criticizing a practitioner for telling someone who wanted a job and this and that, a whole list of things that he wanted. And the practitioner pretty much said, seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So whoever this person was criticizing the practitioner for saying that. And I mean, I don't know where this person gets off doing that, but anyway, we have to be so careful in our understanding of this science. Very, very careful, because it will just slip into New Age and demonstrating things. And that's not what it is. Sorry, folks. The things will come, but as we've talked about, they're byproducts.
And they're for a purpose.
And they're for a purpose to serve God better, not to consume it upon your lusts. So just briefly, I wanted to say, someone was asking Florence this week about, you know, we hear sometimes in testimonies about teachers in this church. Mrs. Evans, we did consider a practitioner and a teacher. Florence and I consider ourselves practitioners only to the extent, and I do quote this from miscellaneous writings, the student who heals by teaching and then teaches by healing will graduate under divine honors, which are the only appropriate seals for Christian Science. I totally believe in that, and I believe that's what Mrs. Evans gave us. She taught by healing and she healed by teaching. But I don't, we're a little uncomfortable with this, you know, teaching stuff, being called teachers. I don't even know what that means in a way.
God is the teacher.
But only God.
Yeah, Florence, would you want to say something about it?
No, I was going to say that God is the ultimate teacher of all of us.
Of all of us. And we must be quite mindful of this. And when we come to the round table, it is to praise and glorify him for a little while. And he's the teacher.
Yeah, the point is to get to the divinity course.
Yes, the divinity
course. Which is God teaching us to.
Thank you. Now, one other thing I'd like to mention, because it came to me this week, was, you know, Mary Baker Eddy's 6 Days of Revelation. And this quote that many years ago Florence found, where to Mrs. Annie Knott, CSD, principal of the Detroit Christian Science Institute, Mrs. Eddy gave the warning that the time might come when medical thought might be so organized that it would make the practice of Christian Science almost impossible. The remedy given was not the counter power of Christian Science churches, but, quote, when that time comes, I want my students to take every means possible to make science and health available to the whole world, which our church is doing through books, audios, talking about it, and you. Also on that same page, it said, to David Easton, who later became pastor of a Boston church, she wrote, if you will make a study of science and health for 1 month and go through the book as you would any textbook in college, it will be of great advantage to you. And to another, she wrote, God wrote the textbook, study it, let God speak to you. So all of you, to promote this, You should be really studying the textbook every day. Take a chapter and get into it. You know, I know so many beautiful quotes from Science and Health, but I often don't know what chapter they're in. I should know what chapter they're in. The chapter should be alive to me. This week's lesson has a lot from Christian Science versus Spiritualism. That happens to be one of my very favorite chapters. And it's because of all this knowing the past, present, and future. It has wonderful statements in it. I just love it. And we should feel that way about every chapter. Love it. Use it. Make it your own. Look up definitions. And along with that, we had a watch this week from Watches, Prayers, and Arguments handling Materia Medica. We should be doing this every day. You know how it is growing. I mean, honest to Pete, all these medical centers, they just grow and grow and grow and grow. So we need to counteract that with the truth. Now, some of the advances can be good and we can be grateful. And there's a lot of good, kind people in that profession. No question about it. But some of it is just, you know, it was in the watch, witchcraft and other things, hypnotism. So we must be doing this work. Who else is going to do it? So I know everybody's busy, but you make time for this, or we will be held accountable for not. Mm-hmm. So I was always grateful for Florence to find that. I'd never seen that before in 6 days of revelation. And it certainly explains, I think, present day.
Yeah. There's so much money in it too. It becomes very aggressive.
Yes. Well, and we know the pharmaceuticals, that they just are making money and laughing all the way to the bank. And America is known that that's the answer. If you have a problem, you take some pill. While other countries and parts of doctors do this here too, where they treat the whole person. That's why I'm loving that those articles on virtual medicine. Because we know these potions of God's qualities are what heal. We know this truth. So keep getting it out there. And I would just like, I thought this was so wonderful. And this is in the Doris Henty book, Addresses and Other Writings on Christian Science. Now, those of you who know about her, she had a terrible face deformity, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was healed in Christian Science. And boy, she became a practitioner on fire. And she's from England. Mm-hmm. Anyway, someone reminded me, and someone sent me this book a while ago. I forget who it was, but thank you, whoever it was. But anyway, I love this in here, this aspect about mind. This is on page 5. Another aspect of great help to us is that the divine mind is all that feels. I quote, "Thou shalt not admit that error is something to be felt, to feel, or to be felt." That's unity of good. Mind, not matter, feels. Science and Health. And then, there are not two kinds of feeling. Mortal and divine. Comfortable and painful. Happy and depressed. Just think of the freedom and comfort due to the fact that the divine mind alone is capable of feeling. You know, this is what I try to get to you when I say the only thing you should be feeling is your oneness with God. If you're feeling something else, get back to that. Because think of all the things we feel that aren't of God, including depression, pain, whatever. The divine mind, your mind, is ceaselessly feeling, experiencing its own unalterable perfection, totally separate from any mortal concept. In that very place and at the very moment where the misconception might suggest, I feel weary, I feel pain, I feel age creeping on, all that is really going on is the one and only I, ceaselessly, naturally, and effortlessly feeling the bliss of the one and only life. The divine I, cause and effect, knows itself in terms of harmony, wholeness, and beauty. Knowing only, and I quote, his own all presence, all knowledge, all power, unity of good. The allness of truth permits nothing but itself. It permits nothing and bears witness to nothing but its own infinite nature, which is your nature. What joy I am and feel, what peace, strength, vigor I am and feel. I mean, it goes on, but it's just remember that. Matter can't feel. All only mind feels, and don't accept any other feeling. That'll keep you in the one mind. So anyway, go ahead.
Sorry, there's a testimony from somebody Doris Henty worked with in 100 Years of Christian Science Healing, but I think it's a person that's about to commit suicide, and Miss Henty knocks on her door and prevents it and heals her from her alcoholism in that very moment. So it was very, just kind of what you've just been saying and how she was led to it. No one called her. She did this all led by mind to this person. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
One of the things I like about Henty, and I've been reading that book for years, is that she's constantly turning us back to Mrs. Eddy's writings.
Yes.
I mean, she quotes throughout the entire book, quote after quote from Mrs. Eddy's writings, which is what I love about the book too. But yeah, I love Henty's book.
Very true.
It's a good sign.
A good sign. Very good sign.
She does a good job with it. Synonyms too, incredible, really nice.
Yeah, I don't have that one, but I've heard, and Anne from England sent me the one about spirit, which Gary read a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I would like to say that you gave me this. I told you, and I don't even remember why. One of my grandsons, he's in his 20s, he's teaching, and I said he was feeling sad or whatever. She said, oh no, he can't. He can only feel God. I didn't even tell him, but I work with it, what you told me. He's fine. He's the one reading the Bible now.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. He can only
another
feel
word.
Excuse me.
I just wanted to bring up the word content, because society leads us to be discontented with so many things, that we want more, or that we haven't gotten our healing, or whatever it is, we have to know that our contentment is right now, and it's a quality of God. And so it's not looking towards tomorrow, and it's not looking backwards. And it's, you know, it has a lot to do with the word depression, if you're discontented. And I just think it's a wonderful word to work with.
Thank you. Yeah. Another aspect of feeling, you can only feel content, because Lord knows, everyone's trying to sell you something and tell you, you know, you need this or you're going to be miserable. And my goodness me, there's just no end to it.
Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be challenges. There will always be challenges. But we have what we need to face those challenges. We don't have to be discouraged or depressed or upset that there is a challenge. We can face them because we have all of what God is to face them with.
Yes.
And that's why you you can face them with content.
Yes, us to start the morning correctly, you know, to declare that you're fine, you're not discouraged, you cannot be dismayed, confused, influenced by anything.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Your prayer this morning. What pages were that? Do you have it at hand?
That's in page 342 of the Brown Book. Mr. Big Eddie's lessons, yeah. 338 and 342.
Mm-hmm. Now, and Mrs. Eddie, on Miscellaneous Writings, page 200, I enjoy the touch of weakness, pain, all suffering of the flesh, because it compels me to seek the remedy for it and to find happiness apart from the personal sense. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. Anytime you're struck, whatever, with some kind of a problem or issue, it will, if you turn to God, it will force you to go higher, to reach new heights that you wouldn't have known before. And we've learned to, yes, know that trials are proof of God's care. Okay.
I remember reading in Prose Works, I think it was in Miscellany, that with what Mrs. Eddy went through when she was a young bride, pregnant with her first child, and she lost her husband, and what she went through, and the love and compassion that she felt like that gave her impetus to the work that she did for the love and the care and the compassion for the whole world. And I think that's what we have to imbibe.
Yes. You know, if you don't suffer any, sometimes you can be a little callous at other suffering. Okay, Chardell, the healing mind.
The healing mind. This is from Samuel Greenwood in a Christian Science Sentinel, March 10th, 1917. It's very long. Look it up. It's good. I'm just going to read a little bit. Okay. No subject is of greater moment to humanity than the mind. What is the deciding factor in our thinking, or whence do our thoughts come? Is God acknowledged as the supreme and only mind, and therefore as the only source of light, thought, or does that which is not good occupy the throne of intelligence for us and hold us captive to unworthy thoughts? And then the Apostle Paul said, there are only two classes. It's carnal mind and divine mind. And then it says, and then, let's see, I'm going to go on to three. The importance of this question is we cannot too soon set about discovering whence our thoughts come. Yeah, we'll pay attention. Mrs. Eddy tells us that sick humanity looks for relief in all ways except the right ones. That's Science and Health 371. Mortals examine the material body with its actions, regulating its food and so on, instead of looking into the mortal thought for their enemy and putting out what has no business there. In other words, the scriptures implies that if the sufferer would turn from his unrighteous thoughts and let divine truth govern his thinking, he will be abundantly pardoned, and that is healed.
Thank you. Yeah, it is a wonderful article. The Healing Mind. Samuel Greenwood was a wonderful worker. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeremy, read the golden text.
From Job, he that is perfect in knowledge is with thee.
When I first saw that in Job, and I don't know when it was, but I thought, wow, mm-hmm. Wow, that's an awesome statement. So think about that during the day. That's an easy one to remember. If you're having problems with anything, think about that.
Yeah, your father has not left you alone.
No.
It's beautiful.
It is so beautiful. Oh my goodness. Anything you need to know, you can know. Now, I thought in the lesson about Daniel, now talk about having a little pressure on your head. They can't even remember the dream, for heaven's sakes. I don't remember it, but you gotta interpret it for me.
Or you'll be cut up.
Oh, you'll be cut up in little pieces. So if you're under a little pressure, just remember that. But Daniel immediately turned it over to God, because no person could have done that, right? Only God knew. And then he got the answer, miraculously. So if you're under pressure at work or anywhere to come up with some answers, just remember this and turn it to God. He knows. We don't. We can't do it. Can't do a thing.
You're done.
Yep.
That's why it's a good thing to practice doing that every day. If you, when you're not under pressure.
Yeah. Right.
God, what would you have me do right now? Mm-hmm. What would you have me eat? What would you have me say? What would you have me work on? What would you have me do? If you practice that every day when you're not under pressure, when the pressure comes, it's going to be a lot easier. Trust me.
We just have to let that be the way we live, right? I mean, with a humble heart that only God knows, because you can plan. I used to, today I'm going to do this, this. Yeah, right. Let God lead you.
Yep. Thank you. That's what we were talking about in the morning, answering your emails. Let God lead you. Don't do it just because they've come in. Do it when God tells you to do it and not before. And that's true of everything and anything. It's very hard for me to plan my day. I just have to let God do it. Because Florence just said, all you have to do is plan it. And Hey, Jeremy.
Oh, just said that was a wonderful practice that helped me when I was first here. And in fact, I still do it. You know, you go out for a ride. Father, what road should I take? You know, everything. It was just, but I think actually driving, because I drove so much back then, I would go to Connecticut to get my kids and stuff. It really helped to sort of hone my spiritual sense at the time. And I'm very grateful for that.
Thank you. That's something I've, excuse me, I've needed to work on, because, you know, I tend to, oh my gosh, where am I? And that's not right. You know, you just calm down and God will tell you where to go, turn in the road, and he will. Again, though, you can't, have you ever sat and tried to think of the route you were going to take somewhere? I mean, I can't do that. I don't know what the heck. But once I'm at the place that I need to turn or whatever, oh, yeah, I remember now. But that's why you've got to live in the present moment and let God guide always, because he is. He that is perfect in knowledge is with you. And so here we have Daniel. So he overcame this. He interpreted the dream. He rose to great heights. And then what happens? This isn't in the story, in the lesson, but...
The other guys conspire a trap, yeah, to trap him,
despite the fact that he saved all of them.
Yeah, I know exactly.
What did they do to Jesus?
How bad jealousy is.
Yes,
exactly.
A terrible thing. That's why it's addressed in the commandments about coveting. Now, because he didn't get elated over all the great things that happened to him, he was ready for the next thing. And he was able to go in the lion's den, and God saved him. So then the lions' mouths were shut. I'm just going to mention briefly, because it's come to me from several people. Evidently, there's this new documentary out. And I guess some of it might be really good about the planet Earth, or I don't know what the name of it is. People have sent it to me. But there's a part in there, evidently, of animals eating other animals. Well, frankly, I don't need to watch that.
No. Who it's needs? It's so disturbing. I'm sorry. It's very disturbing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, we do not need to watch that. We are bringing in the lion lying down with the lamb. All right? Yeah. Well, if Daniel had filled his thought with that stuff, he would have been, you know what? He would have. No. So I don't want to hear about it. Don't send me that stuff. No, thank you.
Mm-mm. No.
Anyway, I don't know. It must be some big thing now because everybody keeps telling me about it. And a lot of, especially the Christian Scientists, mentioned that part of it. So we do not need to watch error, okay? No. That's not the truth of God's kingdom. We don't take that in. It does no one good. It's not the truth about what God created. So, yes, and it was an article that Carrie sent me about Daniel, that because he didn't get all elated, he only rose higher in his understanding of truth. And thank God. And when you are living this one mind, you will involuntarily become prophets and seers. You will just know things.
And you know, before when it was mentioned love and compassion for the world, that we need to extend that love and compassion to animals. Thank you for mentioning not to watch all these horror movies. That it's all error to show the world, of course, the wrong way of animals instead of seeing the wonderful beings that they are. But there's a lot of suffering that they are really
doing. Understand that, Ingrid. We do understand that. And everyone is on different levels of unfoldment as far as that goes. But yes, in the kingdom of heaven, there will, Mrs. Eddy says it plainly on those pages about Daniel feeling love's control, that man is not carnivorous, but there are different levels. You've mentioned this to us many times, and I thank you very much. All right. Now, I am, you know, there's so much in this lesson, including a weather treatment. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Mm-hmm. That in itself is a treatment for the weather. Now, and also in the responsive reading, this is a beautiful article that Carrie sent. I'm not ending it on this, but it's beautiful right now, and I want Gary to read it. Looking always for good.
By Stokes Anthony Bennett. He who looks for good never sees evil. He who looks for good is a worthy example of ceaseless activity, a tireless worker in the fields which are white, all ready to harvest. To him, good is the manifestation of the one mind, of the perfect love, and the real life. To him, good is the parent of spiritual joy, of holy freedom, of boundless dominion. His labors are ever in behalf of that realization, inspiring the saying which is written, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. His thoughts are directly tributary to God himself, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. How true then that unto the pure all things are pure. To look for good and only good is the solemn obligation which rests upon Christian Scientists who conscientiously hold office in the service of the Master. May this obligation never be forgotten, never be violated, but may its sacred purpose be first and foremost in every ambition, every determination, and every striving which crosses our mental threshold, living up to our highest discernment of good, obtained through a constant and a sincere study of the Bible and our textbook, Science and Health, Scriptures, we begin to understand people and things as they are, the obedient children of God, the eternal handiwork of the great I Am, here a little and there a little, the omnipotence of good will appear, the illusion of evil will disappear, and the kingdom of harmony will be at hand. Here a little and there a little, God's own ideas revealing all the glories of earth and heaven and man, Science and Health, page 264, will dissolve the clouds of troubled sense. The truth will shine unto the perfect day.
I love that thought, to always be looking for good everywhere. Even when there seems to be error, look for the good, because the good is there. This isn't a Pollyanna thing. You will also see things that need correcting, but look for the good and you will find it. And that will be living this truth.
And there will be a blessing to every circumstance that comes to you, no matter how uncomfortable it might feel in the first place.
Yes. And I loved in the lesson where it said, mind is not necessarily dependent upon educational processes. It possesses of itself all beauty and poetry and the power of expressing them. And spirit God is heard when the senses are silent. This is what we talked about last week, this expression of soul that comes forth in varying ways in all of us, all of you. And so you can be a poet, you can be an artist, you can do all these things through God. I can express poetry, beauty. Dear Carrie found some articles about Max Dunaway, newspaper articles, one about his marriage to Margaret. And Max Dunaway is from Oregon, and his wife was from Boise, Idaho. It sounded like they had such a sweet wedding, just 30 people, and she wore colors of petunia, and she carried a white Bible. Anyway, it was a beautiful description and of this dear man. And I'm going to end now with just a couple poems from him. One is called Poet. For an instant of eternity, he plucked the strings of an angel's harp. Isn't that what poetry does? You take an instant of eternity and pluck the strings of an angel's harp. That's true what a painter does. Captures the beauty of a moment in eternity. And then this inspiration. I listened for God's thoughts. None came. Vainly I pleaded, called upon his name, promised to obey whatever I should hear and let his message guide me. But none fell upon my ear. So turning to a task at hand, I did it well. Then suddenly a band of angel thoughts swept in with heart uplifting call and whispered holy things till I could scarcely count them all. Unhindered, inspiration flows from doing faithfully the good one knows. Fidelity will open wide the golden door through which God's holy message of light and love must pour. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.